me I want to take fishing. He's out for old student conferences this week, and my buddy Carson is down here, so we're going to go after him right after radio show.
Good deal. And, Phil, the sun will shine today. We're expecting clearing skies, so you're going to have a beautiful fall day to hit fishing. How's fishing been?
Well, it's been fishing. It hadn't really been catching, but it's been fishing. But, you know, just being able to go. And I do have a story to relate a little bit later on in the show about an alligator gar was caught in Kansas, and it was the first ever that was documented. But I caught a catfish last week when I was out on the dock cleaning quail that I got from the National Future Retrieve Trial. And I'd clean the quail and take its innards and throw some out in the lake, and then throw some out in the lake, and then put one on a fishing pole, and lo and behold, a catfish did help me out. So he's planned for dinner later on this weekend. I never had anything to do this week other than finish up my grass planting project. I did go to Emporia on Monday, where Eric Brown and I did our drawing for our Emporia Communicators of Kansas and passing on Outdoor Mentors raffle. And I do want to thank everybody that participated in that. And I say it was a drawing that was computer generated, which is everything's going to computer these days. But it was really done. And I am happy to say I do have some grass coming up, despite the C-minus rating I got from Ginger on the yard. It just seems like Rodney Dangerfield. I just hard to get any respect around here when it comes to growing grass in the front yard. But Watson Outdoors did benefit from the fundraiser, where my brother-in-law, Skip Counselor, won a lifetime hunting or fishing license.
And
the generous heart that he is, he said, well, Phil, just give me my $100 back. I think he wanted to go fishing with Joe Bragg, and he donated the rest to Watson Outdoors. So we'll be using it to give away next year in one of our programs.
That's great.
I really think Skip just feels sorry for me, because my yard looks better than a C-minus, I'll guarantee you. But, Ron, I do want to go open spool. You know, last week we talked about the online version of hunter education being offered, and for people to get certified in hunter's ed. That's the only thing Kansas is opening right now. When these COVID restrictions come off, we might be able to get back into our traditional classes and also internet-assisted classes. But just the online class, it's sort of controversial, and the phone's just been going off the wall, people asking me about it. So I do want to ask our listeners to let me know what they think about it. If this is something that's good for the kids, good for people that want to learn about hunting, just to strictly go online with it. Or I do really want to hear from some people that have taken that class. So if you can, listeners, let me know your thought with it.
342-5863. What are your thoughts? Good, bad, others? Phil, what do you think?
Well, as someone that took automotive mechanics in high school and made A's, but then someone who got to working on my car, and, well, I don't really want to go with that because I still have nightmares. There's a lot of difference in learning something, you know, online and not being able to go out and do it hands-on. But I think there's 12 or 13 states that have been doing the online certification. And from what I hear from very good outdoorsmen, people that have been participating in hunting all their lives, it is pretty tough. And we all know that computers isn't for everybody, and sometimes we have difficulty on it. So this might open the door for more of our programs to get popular. That, you know, back in the 90s, I started doing Take a Kid Hunting Days, just as an advanced hunter education class for kids that had taken hunter education in the classes, and to get them outdoors to do a little bit more with it. I delighted in taking them out over my bird dogs and letting them see bird dogs for the very first time. But I was always cautioned, you know, enough to let them know that I want to see blue sky between the dog and the object that you're shooting at. That's just all goes around with knowing what you're shooting at, knowing what's behind it. So, you know, I've said many times, the number one incident in Kansas is hunters swinging on game. I like to see, and several times I've tried to open the online class, I haven't been able to get on there, even though I got certified in 1995 when I started teaching. But there's so much with teaching goes with hands-on, being out with your parents, being out with people, and getting corrected with that stuff. I hate to see anybody fail. I do want to see them get outside and hunt and enjoy it. And if hunting's good for them, if they think they want to, they do need to get certified when they're 16. The class is just offered to kids 16 and over, so if you're under 16, you do not need the certification. You can just hunt with your parents or even go out by yourself. I remember carrying a gun in Junction City going from my house, which was about 3 blocks from the river, and carrying the firearm over my shoulder when I was like 10 or 11, going down to the river with my bird dog, you know, right by my side, and nobody would think about it. We just don't want to see kids walking down the street these days carrying a firearm. There's just so much going on.
Well, and I think that if one thing COVID has taught us is that remote learning for in general with kids in school is not near as effective, I think we have learned, than face-to-face learning in the classrooms. So I think that something that should be kept in mind as far as the effectiveness of the overall program. I think, obviously, if you're teaching hands-on face-to-face, you're going to get better results than just for an online course. Just my humble opinion on that, Phil.
Well, I appreciate that, Ron. And this is where the programs that we have going on, like what Eric Brown is doing with Take a Kid, with his programs through the Passing On Outdoor Mentors, is where they will take youth out hunting with a mentor and setting a blind with them, be able to tell them what is a good shot. I remember being a part of Big Brothers Big Sisters. I had a little, and when I took him hunting, I never even let him load his gun for a while. I felt bad when a big rooster pheasant got up and he could just swing and point at it, but that's what I did with a BB gun back when I was a kid, before my father would let me carry, you know, a real shotgun. But he did have a Donnie did have a shell in his pocket. And this bird got up wild. And, you know, generally the bird dog would point him, so you have a little bit of time to prepare yourself. But this bird got up wild. He, like, tore his pocket off trying to get that shell out of his pocket. You know, this is just some things that we go with teaching kids and getting them out. We just don't want someone to get into an incident that can happen. But with firearm safety and responsibility, that goes good for all segments of society, whether they plan on hunting or not. And this is one thing that we can teach. There's a difference between what you learn with concealed carry and then what you learn into commission hunting and then what goes with it. But, Ron, like you said, there's so many good things that it might come out of a bad situation. I know with COVID, there has been more and more people wanting to get outside, coming to me at the marina and asking me, well, Phil, my kids want to learn about fishing. Fishing is something that I never was involved in, so we have been able to give them instruction. And last week, Ron, after the show, I had a Zoom meeting with Laura Downey, and Laura is the director of the Kansas Association of Conservation and Environmental Education out of Manhattan, and also it's known as KACEE, and then hooked her up with Daphne Mays. Of course, Daphne is the director of the Prophet Aquatic Research and Outreach Center. And one of the things we discussed was an outdoor skills curriculum that might go into schools, and that would include Kansas hunter education. You know, last election year, it was approved by our legislators to teach hunter education in the schools, but it was vetoed by Governor Kelly. And sometimes I wonder about that, but talking with some people in the legislators, I really thought it should be up to the schools to determine whether this happened. And I've had an audience with several old high school superintendents. Some of them really go with the outdoor schools. We do teach hunters ed in the schools, which would be a little bit different than what we're looking at through Wildlife and Parks. To me, it's all good. But several teachers, we have Victor Mercado in Maine. He has an outdoor skills curriculum where he teaches kids hunting, he teaches them kayaking, he teaches them respect to the outdoors. Steve Wolf with his Wild Kansas program, he was real cool. He was superintendent of Erie High School, And now he's taking his program to Colorado. Unfortunately, he took one of our best teachers, Heidi Alman, to Colorado with him, too. But there's just a lot of good things going on that we can't offer. But until then, Ron, and this is one thing I wanted to ask the people running for a school board in Emporia, just what did they think about Hunter's Ed in a school? Because one of the first audience I had was with John Heim, and we all know the work that John has done in school.
You bet.
But he thanked me for the presentation that we give him, but he just didn't think it would fly through the school board. And but he said with the presentation, Phil, he really thanked me for it because he thought before we spoke with him and Mr. Abel, he thought Hunter education in the schools was just teaching kids to kill things and NRA objectives. Well, I know that's not right. I can show you the book. I can show you how we teach it. After all, I've been doing it since 1995. Richard McCoy way before me. Roger Wells way before me. So it is a good program. So this is one thing you might consider if you know people running for the school board, see how they feel about an outdoor skills curriculum in the school. Until we get that, Ron, I urge people that want to learn about firearm safety and responsibility to consider the 4-H shooting sports, scouting, especially the veteran crew, and programs like Lisa Fuller is going to be having on October 30th. I don't know how I'm going to make both of them because we have an October 30th, it's called the Headwaters Turkey Shoot, going on here at Council Grove. And it's the same thing, getting people out, and they'll be shooting at Clay's. And more than that, though, they will be learning about firearm safety and responsibility. The listeners, please give me a call. Call into the radio station or give me a call or message me, and I'd just like to know your thoughts.
Oh, you can talk to Phil, and you can message him ear to ear right here, 342-5863, 620-342-5863 is our Sutherland studio line number. It is 8:46. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more of What's in Outdoors after this.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supplies got it.
Nothing beats fresh homemade sausage, and it's easy to do. Start making your own with High Mountain Seasonings from Blue Stem. With their delicious seasonings, you're in control. Make patties, make links, mix pork with game in any combination. Their 18 varieties of flavors are sure to have something to wake up your taste buds. So if you're looking for something to spice up your homemade sausage, Blue Stem's got it. See you at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM live and local. A little bit of sun peeking through the clouds out there right now, 52 degrees. You are tuned in to What's in Outdoors with Phil Totten. Make sure you log on to KVOE, KVOE.com, and hop on the What's in Outdoors page. Phil always has great information, updates, photos, and more. And still, Phil is broadcasting from Studio North to Council Grove Lake here on a Friday morning. So how did the field trials go? Were you doing some dogs over the weekend, Phil?
Oh, yes. We had dogs come down from North Dakota, from Missouri, from Colorado. And it's sort of tough to fill these trials anymore. But I just marvel at the ability those bird dogs have to go out and find quail and to point them. And, of course, trialing them and seeing all the different breeds, you will get an appreciation of all breeds of hunting dogs. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago we had Red Dog and his owner on the show, and to be able to go out and co-track a deer after a week, I mean, that's just crazy. So I'm marvel at their ability. And so for me, that's one thing that we do teach in Hunter's Ed is that a dog is very valuable to have so you can recover that resource that you might harvest. Ron, on hummingbirds, now this is something we did talk about at the field trial. I had an old buddy, Larry Bailey. I've had him on the show, and he said, And I mentioned that some people might think there's a shortage of hummingbirds. He said, not in his backyard. He fed over 100 of them.
Oh.
He said they were wearing him out, more so than them wild dogs that he runs. But anyway, he said that he loves them, but he was sort of glad to see them go. Myself, I saw my last hummingbird 12 days ago, and he was a brute. He never really came to the feeders. I say it was just a dark-looking bird, but from the size, I would say it was a male. It mostly came to the flowers that I still have blooming. I still have a few hummingbird moths that's come to the flowers. So this weekend, I'll take the feeders down, and I'll clean them up real good and put them away. And that's something that this mess up communications comes, just how important it is to keep your hummingbird feeders clean so they don't get a fungus. I'll replace them with my other bird feeders. I do have a lot of goldfinches now out using the wild space area where the sunflowers are left, so it's fun to walk out with them. But Ron, earlier this morning you mentioned scientists found a was an early man that had a beer and cheese diet.
Yeah. They were it was the Austrian Alps, I believe, is where this was going on, and they discovered through some feces that was like a couple thousand years old that the workers up on the mountains lived on a diet of beer and cheese. So,
well,
yeah.
I know there's some men right now living on that.
Yes. Still works today, doesn't it?
Yes, sir. Well, where I'm coming with this, Ron, is it's just so important that we keep our kids in schools. We keep our kids interested in science. And one of the things with my experience with cancer, the only way we can do it is to keep challenging the kids through schools to get them with the mentors to teach them these things. And where that came up with this alligator gar being caught in Kansas, there's several ways they're going to try to figure out if this gar is native to Kansas. Of course, we have a lot of gar in Kansas, but this summer I had the first reported gar being caught here in the city lake. I've been coming down here since 1958 and never seen one. But it's speculation that this gar might have been one that that somebody had in an aquarium. And one of the ways they can tell is going into microchemistry type of deal to seeing just how this gar was made up. And so I guess in the bones, there's some kind of way they can tell if this gar really a native of the Neosho River. That's way over my head. Really cool.
No
but
kidding.
This alligator gar, you can tell the difference between them and the other gars. It just has a wider head. A lot of times being up out of the water, it looks like it could be an alligator, but this gar was 4.5 foot and weighed 39.5 pounds. But there is a lot of them down in Oklahoma. And I remember as a kid when we would set lines, when we would wade the rivers and, you know, have trot lines, when we had a gar on that line, we were always cautious of it because they do have a mouthful of teeth. I remember one time when a gar fell off the line. You never did see two kids scamble get out of that water.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to that last break, Ron, and we'll finish up the show for this week.
All right, Phil Totten hosting What's In Outdoors here, KVOE Live and Local. Stay tuned. We're back with more after this.
The ride of your life is just a pre-order away. The crew at Express Tire knows you're ready to ride. And while they are experiencing factory shortages on off-road vehicles, they encourage you to stop by and put in a pre-order on a new Polaris so you can get the exact machine you want as soon as it's available. Express Tire is your local Polaris dealer in Emporia. Find them at 806 East 12th Avenue. Open Monday through Friday until 5:30 and Saturdays until noon.
Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supplying's got it.
Whether you want to trap them for fur or trap them to keep them fur away, Blue Stem has got what you need. Come check out their full line of Duke traps and several sizes of fur stretchers. Questions? Ask for Brian Wendling, Blue Stem's trapping expert. Blue Stem's your source for live traps, scents, even muskrat colony traps. With colder weather coming, mice and rats are starting to move indoors. Get them out and keep them out. Blue Stem has all kinds of traps and other varmint control products. See ya at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, West Highway 50 in Emporia.
KVOE AM 1400 and 96.9 FM. partly cloudy, 52 degrees. It is 8:53. You are tuned in to What's In Outdoors here, KVOE, every Friday morning. Phil Totten hosting with Blue Stem Farm and Ranch and Express Tire and Auto sponsoring Phil's show, coming to you from, well, Phil's live from Studio North, just outside of Council Grove Lake there. Phil, so you have any more dog events coming up soon?
Yes, sir. I'll be going down by Fort Scott on October 24th. I haven't really got the destination of this field trial yet, but I generally leave early in the morning to take off to go down there just to avoid some calls. So it'll be coming up. There's just all kind of trials out there and people that want to take kids out to show them their dogs. I did get a communication from Lane Eichert. And, of course, we had him on the show with Coonhounds and Coonhounds abilities. And what was so cool, they had a youth event, and a certain sponsor paid for all those kids to participate in it. So if I'd have got wind of that a little bit earlier, I'd have put the news out on that. But dogs are fantastic critters, I'll guarantee you. Yeah. But then there's little Myrn. Sometimes I wonder about her. But we have a good time. I did bring home some race-release birds from the trial. And with that, you need to know what you're doing when you expect you're going to train a dog on a raised-release bird, even though they look like a quail. Sometimes their mannerisms aren't quite like a quail, and sometimes they just don't want to fly. And so unless you bring your dog along by certain steps, and mainly that is teaching whoa. Whoa is very important. You can cause some problems in the dog, such as, it flagging, blinking, but some people don't care as long as that dog points that bird and they're able to get into to range enough so when it comes up they can harvest it. But I like to see the dogs, you know, do what the Lord has given them in their genetics and to hold that fine. So, but I have been hearing some reports that that the quail population is up from last year. The pheasants seem to be at best holding their own. There's not very good reports coming out on them, but a guy from North Dakota said that they have plenty of birds, you know, up north. So even though some areas were drought, I'm sure glad to see that rain come by. You know, that last week our lake is still like 4 bricks low. I like to see a lot of water come into that, especially when winter's coming. I'll be heading to Cabela's tomorrow, Ron, to do our Family Safe and Scarred program. And what's really cool, that's something that we started. Well, it was started in Texas maybe 10, 12 years ago. And we started doing it there in Emporia, maybe five. And so it's been a real good program. And it's hands-on. The kids will be able to fish. We will be showing them how to tie hooks. We're showing them different type of equipment. Sort of what we do down at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch if they still had their conservation days. So that's about it. I'm still trying to get hold of Mr. Pratch over at Marion to talk about, and it's going to be a good Veterans Day show for us to talk about what he's doing in his efforts to get our military families back out and into the outdoors. And I'll be hearing from Joe Bragg. Joe had an outdoor crew with him called Brush Pile doing a video there at Milford. Now, Joe is catching some crappie over at Milford, so they are being caught. You just got to go out and get them.
All right. Ron, good work as always, Phil.
Well, I got to know something. The guy on the golf club throw, did he ever mention what iron he's choosing?
I believe it was an 8-iron.
Well, I was playing that through my mind, just what I would throw. I've only really remember throwing one golf club in my life, and that was a 7-iron. And it wasn't because I hit a bad shot. It was because I hit it pure. Now, if you know Billy Martin, and of course, Billy, he was a couple-time city championship. You golf with him, and he'd say, boy, I hit that pure. But sometimes if you're pumped up, you can hit one too pure. And when I put a 7-iron, and we was in a railroad tournament there at Heston, when I put a 7-iron over the green at 160 yards, that's what you call hitting it pure.
That was pure, all right. All right, good stuff, Phil.
Thank you, sir. Lord willing, we'll be talking to you next Friday.
All right, good luck with that program at Cabela's tomorrow. That's outstanding.
All right, thanks, sir.
Phil Totten, What's In Outdoors, does great work. I'll tell you what, kids and families, getting them outdoors and all kinds of programs that Phil's involved with. Appreciate all he does. Log on to KVOE.com and hop on the What's In Outdoors page. More information there. What's In Outdoors is brought to you weekly by Express Tire and Auto on East 12th near the Water Tower. John and Jenny and that exceptional crew at Express Tire and Auto take great care of you. And, you know, Brian and all the folks out at Blue Stem Farm and Ranch Supply, if they don't have it, it's probably not around. You know that, Blue Stem Farm and Ranch. It's 8:58.
A meeting of the FDA advisory panel that's in progress right now could give answers.